Bears Roundtable is powered by Xfinity.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Jeff Joniak, and welcome to Chicago Bears Roundtable from PNC Studio here at Hallis Hall, along with my broadcast partner from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, Mr. Tom Thayer, along with the senior writer of ChicagoBears.com, the one and only Larry Mayer. And then there's Anthony Adams. I like to call him Double. He's also Double A, and he's one of the funniest men you will ever meet. I don't know if that humor will show up here, but it does.
Probably won't.
On Inside the Bears. Welcome in. Co-host with Lawrence Greeden. Where's Lawrence Greeden? Maybe she should be here with you,
yeah,
promoting
maybe,
your show.
Maybe. Maybe we're a package deal, but today, I guess not. She's too cool.
You're going to have to pay for that one.
I feel left out here. I got Double A, I got Double J, and I got Double T.
That's right. Everybody. We wish you were John Mayer. You know? Hey, Double A, I saw you dancing on the scoreboard before start of the game.
Yeah.
You know, you're a good dancer, but you got to have a lot of confidence knowing that you got a camera on you, you're dancing, there's 61,500 people in the stands waiting for that game to get underway, and you get a great response when, you know, you do your little dance step.
Yeah, you know, you have to dance like no one is watching. You know, that's the motto that I go by. But what was funny was, as I was dancing, the Raiders started to come out. So everybody started booing. I'm like, maybe I need to dance a little harder. I don't know what's going on here. It was funny.
No, it's not like he's one of those players. You've seen him a lot of times. They're quiet as the players, and all of a sudden they come out of their shells when they retire. Anthony was a guy that was dancing during games, though. I remember.
Oh, yeah.
And there was one time when he ran off the field and was somersaulting. You don't usually see nose tackles doing somersaults on the field.
Yeah, well, actually what I was trying to do is my tights were like kind of riding a little bit, so I had to get them out somehow. So that's the only way that I could think of.
You know, it's funny, we were talking about Double A the other day, because now a generation of young people know you from being on a TV show,
right?
But sometimes they forget what a great football player you were, and you know, what position you played and how you kind of changed a little bit of your position when you came to play for the Bears. And you know, some of the guys are going through that same element in their career right now.
Well, it's cool that, you know, once you retire, you have to reinvent yourself. So I think it's a testament to me you know, being such a great co-host that people only know me for Inside the Bears and not football. So
you know, you came from Motown. I don't mean to step on you, Larry, but you came from Motown. And I'll do it again. It'll happen again, no doubt. But so that's where you get the dance moves, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're a Detroit boy.
Stevie Wonder, Diana Ross, Temptations, Marvin
Stevie
Gaye.
Wonder coming to town. You better check him out. Coming to United Center.
I have to. I went to see him at the United Center last year, so got to make it a point to go see him again.
You're definitely a man of many talents, and I think the Robbie Gould field goal and the performance by Robbie was awesome at Soldier Field, but he's not the only one that's kicked a big field goal at the South End, right?
Yeah. I was 2 for 3. I should have been 3 for 3, but Holder, he didn't have the laces out, so it was basically his fault. But I think I motivated Robbie. Once he saw that, it just... a spark got inside of him and was just like, you know, I need to hurry up and start making more field goals because Anthony is breathing down my neck.
If you guys don't know what he's talking about, it was during a halftime performance, one of the first couple home games this year.
Yep.
Anthony drilled a field goal and did a wild celebration. I'm sure you're probably having
that
some
hot dogs.
That
was the alumni game, right?
Yeah.
When a lot of the Bears alumni were out there on the field.
Steve McMichael was a great kicker. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Probably not better than me.
You know,
I think he would arm wrestle you for that one. He's pretty good.
A defensive lineman that carried the old square-toed shoe with him.
Oh, wow.
In his locker. It was there.
Just in case.
He put it on, and, you know, a couple times he was given the opportunity to go.
You got to make a field goal if you wear a square-toed shoe.
I smell a story on Inside the Bears now with Anthony Adams and Steve McMichael, right?
Let's do it.
You guys are always looking for ideas.
I ain't scared.
Where do you get your ideas for the show?
I have a beautiful mind. I have a beautiful mind. A lot of things that I think about get canned. They say, "Oh no, there's no way we can get Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer in a small car together with perhaps a Larry Mayer."
You know what's funny is when we do get in a small car, you know who gets the back seat? Right here.
Why?
Because he's in a suit. I ask him to pull the seat up, but I do get in that backseat.
There's not a time that I've given Tom the opportunity to have the front seat. And he goes, nope. I'm getting in the back seat. So I do. I have short legs.
Modest.
So I push that seat way up, and he's got a lot of leg room.
You have short legs?
Yes, I do. Just
I
like yourself.
I didn't know that.
We have similar body types, Double.
No, we don't.
Hey, Tom, I heard when you yell shotgun, he ducks. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, but, you know.
Hey, back to Robbie real quick. What a great kicker in Soldier Field. Nobody's been better. No opposing kicker has never been better. The percentages say so. But I don't know what is with that south end of Soldier Field that's so attractive to him and comfortable to kick field goals there. He says it's the wind, and maybe there's a different crosswind on that end of the field. But nailed it again.
Yeah.
And the bizarre thing, I don't think people realize, he's already matched his total field goals made from a year ago. 9. That's all the field goals he made. He didn't attempt many last year either. Yeah. He's already hit 9.
And he was hurt at the end of the year, too, so he didn't get all the opportunities. But, yeah, you're right, and he's perfect, too.
But you think what he overcame in that game alone, getting the first extra point blocked. So is it your rhythm? Is it the snap? Is it the holder? All those things going through your head, but your biggest kicks are yet to come. That's what I admire about Robbie. Is because we kind of tease the kickers all the time about being kickers and punters, but he has a really tough mentality. And I think in order to overcome that block, to go kick the 2 kicks that he kicked and the 1 game winner, it was as exciting as I've seen the field goal team in years.
Well, the sideline erupted. I mean, that's
right.
What you're looking for.
I was
here.
Taping it. I was up in the stands taping it. I knew it was going to be good before he kicked it. I mean, and it's cool to see Robbie grow as a man. I mean, seeing him in college, a scrawny little kid from Pennsylvania, and just, you know, coming, like, at practice, you know, kicking the field goals.
Did you guys cross paths?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I messed with Robbie a lot.
Tell us about that, the early days of a Robbie Golden. Anthony Adams, who was an upperclassman.
Was a scrawny kid, probably about 120 pounds.
Ah, come on.
With construction boots on, like with wet construction steel toe boots on. Probably was about 120 pounds. But he did everything that we did. Went in the weight room, worked out. He was there for 6 o'clock runs, just like he was a linebacker. I mean, he's actually a pretty good basketball player, too. He's very athletic.
And a heck of a golfer.
So
he's a good tackling kicker.
Yeah. The thing that impressed me most, and I think a lot of people aren't talking about it, but they talk about the whole operation of the kick. And you bring in a holder, Spencer Lanning, one day before the game, works together, and basically you're relying on the entire success of the field goal at the end of the game. Imagine if they would throw a new partner in the booth the day before the game for you. I mean, it's amazing.
Or for me.
Right. Well, you know, Spencer Lanning is no rookie, though.
Right.
I mean, he had 2 years with the Cleveland Browns, and they knew of his reputation as a holder. So right. They were taking an educated guess here.
You know, we were talking about on the pregame show on BBM, because Jay Hilgenberg is with us, and when you're the snapper center, you're only getting maybe 5 or 10 snaps during a course of a practice or a day or a week.
Yeah.
They're very fortunate that Gafford, the snapper, and then they have the holder and they have the kicker, where they can repetitiously, in that one day's time or 2 days' time, whatever, do 50, do 75 snaps. And you feel the rhythm and you feel the tempo. If you were asked to go, hey, we got the starting center, he's going to stay in the game, he's going to snap to you, let's hope everything goes well, it's better constructed for a new kicker, new holder, whatever, wherever you're putting the new person.
A lot of people don't realize how hard that is. I mean, you got to be able to catch the ball, then you have to be able to put it in the spot that the kicker wants of that, because some kickers are different. Like, no, I don't want it right there. I want it here. I don't want my ball to, come back this way. I want it to be more forward. Like, it's difficult.
It's something, you know, those kickers, when you watch them, they do their reverse steps to get into that perfect kicking point. They're getting into a point from exactly where they match their toe with. So you don't have the 7 inches, 6 inches, one way or the other. It's got to be on that spot.
Yeah, and I had asked Robbie a couple of weeks ago, what he looks at? What is he looking at when he stands there getting ready to kick? Are you looking at the uprights? Are you looking at the snapper? And he's looking for that ball to be placed and spun. He's looking for a very specific spot on that ball.
Another interesting thing about Robbie that some of the fans might not know is that he wears 2 different size shoes. On his right foot, his kicking shoe, it's 2 sizes too small. So his foot is basically jammed into the foot. And perhaps
that's typical for kickers.
I couldn't do that.
You should maybe do inside the Bears like that. I had
too many corns as it is.
Oh, my.
We were talking before about
in the TMI department right here, pal. Don't be telling us about all your woes now.
We were talking before about cars, and for people that don't know, you do a segment called Big Guys and Compact Cars.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy watching it. You've had some really interesting guests. If you could have anybody in the world alive on the earth right now, who would be your perfect ideal guest for that segment?
It would probably have to be Shaquille O'Neal. Like, let's make it happen. Let's tweet him. Let's call him. Let's call his marketing guys. Let's make it happen. I would love to see.
How about a Shaq and a Chuck Barkley combo? That would be very entertaining.
That would be awesome. Then I would have to put Shaq in the back. We'll put Shaq in the back, and then we'll put Charles Barkley up front.
I have a feeling you're going to need a moonroof to help out
here.
You've
got to open that.
Who hatched the idea of big guys in small cars?
Well, I did, and it's not like I'm reinventing the wheel or anything like that. Basically got it from Jerry Seinfeld. You know, what is it? Cars and coffee?
Right.
Coffee and cars.
Comedians. And right.
Yeah, so I thought it would be funny to have big guys in a small car. You know, just to take something from Chris Farley, you know, big guy and little code. I had a little song and everything. Big guys and little cars. But the producers, of course, canned my song. And so we went with a different song.
What's been your favorite segment on that show? You do so many different things with fans. You do stuff with players. What's been the most memorable segment, would you say, that comes to mind?
Probably the Between Two Helmets with Peanut Tillman. That was hilarious. And he was the perfect guy to do it because he's so dry and so blunt and to the point. And when he hit me upside the head with the donut, that was hilarious. I'm glad we only did that in one take.
I enjoyed when you had Matt Forte on that segment and you were calling him
Common. Of
course
you enjoy that.
You were referring to him as Common. It was hilarious.
He actually retweeted that and everything.
How have the modern-day players been to you? Do they have, you know, do they lose the football side of it and get into their fun side when you get to film these segments with them? And, you know, you get to know a little bit more about these guys because, again, you know, we see them on Sundays. We see their attitude, what their mentality has to be. But you kind of see a relaxed side of them.
Yeah, I think they look at me as just one of the guys, you know. And when we have conversations, it's just like we're in the locker room. And those conversations can stem from having corns on your feet to kicking a game-winning field goal, you know. And I think that guys are more relaxed when they know, hey, I'm talking to a guy who's been there, who's played in the NFL, who's been in his locker room. And so I think it's easier for guys to just let loose with
it. And those that have suffered through the pain of a soft corn, I mean, you have a lot to talk about with those poor guys.
Yeah, man, it's brutal. You got to take care of your dog.
Anthony Adams with us, and we can talk a little football here, too, because I think not only that they won, how they won, and what the week was like to get there, and I believe that the week, the way it started, coming off a third straight loss, being in it on the road in Seattle until the end, not able to really move the ball offensively but still make it a competitive game, and then have big-name players move on, I think it galvanized the team even more. And I think a couple of guys in particular, but one that really caught my attention was the way Pernell McPhee gathered this team together, even Saturday night before the game, the locking arms in the team meeting and saying, hey, we're playing for each other. We're a bunch of new guys that don't know each other, but you know, you're going to make a commitment now to play for each other. And I think they played like that. I think they played relaxed. Jay Cutler played relaxed, calm, despite his injury, and it all came together on Sunday.
Right. I think the message is clear by John Fox and by the front office about what they expect out of you, what they want your contribution to do, in what direction this team is going. And I think it was the win was a great reflection of how the players were able to, you know, digest all the information they had all week with the player movement, the game planning and everything, and then really come out and do a heck of a job and then lose your center in the third play. Now you got three offensive line changes because you already have one with Charles Leno Jr. So, again, the preparation from the head coach on down, and then the inclusion of Dave Magazoo, the offensive line coach, and having everybody ready with little notification that you're going in the game.
Yeah. It's got to give people a sense of relief, doesn't it? I mean, you're working so hard since April. You have no results to show for it. You've been in the games. You played the Packers tough. But now, what does a win do for the locker room?
A win cures all. It cures everything. You're more upbeat around the locker room. You're more upbeat in a weight room. You're able to go to the grocery store with your head up. You know, a lot of times, you know, you just want to do something real simple, go in and get some water or get some eggs or something like that, and everybody's like, wow, look at this guy. You know, so, I mean, it cures everything. And I'm glad you mentioned that about the offensive line because that's tough duty.
Yep.
I mean, you've been working all week, all camp, all these games at guard, then they move you over to center, and the first play is a shotgun.
You know, too, people don't realize, you know, Matt Slauson – You know, he's a big sweaty guy.
Yeah.
And when you have all that sweat dripping down onto your right hand, you have a glove on there, then all of a sudden you got to get that football security. And it changes everything about something, you know, about your right hand and your grip and everything. So, it was difficult, but Slauson came in and he did a really good job. And he helped the offense stay on a consistent path.
And he clipped his tape off, too,
yeah,
just later in the game. But being a defensive tackle / nose tackle, mm-hmm, are you frothing at the mouth if you see a guy moving over to guard, from guard to center, and it starts snapping after the third play of the game? How does your mentality change as a defensive player on that position?
I would crowd the ball a lot more. I would make sure I'm in his face every time he comes down to, you know, getting his stance, because it's a different type of stance. You're not pressing down like this when you're at guard. I mean, when you're at center, you have to use all that force on the ball. So I'm crowding the ball, I'm getting off on the ball, and I'm making sure I'm in his face every time he snaps the ball just to make it hard for him. So, you know, maybe he might fumble a snap, or maybe he might, you know, if he's in shotgun, maybe he might make it higher than what it needs to be. So I try to put a lot of pressure on the guy that's just getting in.
You attack that hand also?
Of course, of course. I line up on that side.
That's what we talked a lot about, how the Raiders do a good
job. You see how low I get when I'm in my stance.
I know.
I'm real low.
You're always going to win the game of leverage.
Now you need a crane to get out of your stance, though.
But you know what? As much as we're kind of patting everybody on the back for the Oakland win, you've got about 12 hours to have fun, and then it's on to Kansas City. And I think the reality of it is they're going into an outdoor environment as hostile as Seattle.
Yes.
They have the experience, and I think the Bears were really well organized in Seattle to get through that game. So I want to see some of the Seattle preparation carry over to the Kansas City Stadium. Yeah. And, you know, it's different for a defensive player because you go into those opponent's stadium and you can hear every word said by the quarterback.
Yeah. It's hard, man, and it's tough. And they got Tom Bahali on one side and Houston on the other side. And
Derek Johnson in the middle.
I mean, pick your poison.
Right.
And you got to go on silent, and you got to make sure everybody's in tune. Like, you know, when I do my head down like this, maybe I go twice, and then I'll snap the ball. So everybody has to be on one accord, and you're not going to be able to hear anything.
Now let's address the center position, because Will Montgomery had years of experience in environments – all throughout that division, and he understands how to work with a complex quarterback situation. Mm-hmm. Now, who's going to be at center, and how well are they going to know the same timing and tempo that center position has to have? Because his timing and tempo is consistent for the tight ends, guards, and tackles up and down the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, he controls everything. Whoever this center is going to be, if they're going to stick with Slauson, he has to be in tune with everybody. Everything runs through him. And so it's going to be very important for them to get that snap correct, for them to get that shotgun correct, and if they're going to go Wildcat. Because it's different when you're a running back. I mean, you're looking to see where you're going to run, and then you're getting a snap. So it's different when a running back is doing it.
Good thing is at least there's a whole week of practice leading up to this game instead of just going in cold turkey for the third play of the game.
I think cold turkey helps him. I mean, he even admitted, you know, I didn't think. I just played.
Speaking of turkey, you know. do you guys cook? You guys
make
turkey for Thanksgiving?
Sure, not me.
I'm smoking one. You guys are invited.
That's an early invitation. First. That's hard to turn that one down. We will be at Lambeau.
I'm
going to
smoke a turkey.
We're going to be eating brats.
I'm going to smoke two turkeys.
All right, well, then, you know, maybe you'll smoke a turkey and bring it to House Hall early that week.
We'll have
an early Thanksgiving.
I'm not bringing it here.
Well, then you're going to have to come to Lambeau because we're playing the Packers on Thanksgiving night.
Well, leftovers.
That'll work for me.
Yeah.
I know it'll work for Larry, that's for sure. If it's on the table, he's dining. All right, last thing before we go, let's flip it a little bit, because the Chiefs had a lot of postseason attachment to them before the year started, and maybe they still do, but they're struggling a little bit, giving up as many points as the Bears have. Their offensive line is really having some difficulty right now, and this is with some pretty high-ranking draft picks on there. They've already given up 19 sacks, so you're a defensive lineman. You see what the Bears are doing with Jarvis Jenkins and Pernell McPhee. Are they now getting ready to eat a little bit, speaking of food?
I sure hope so. 19 sacks. I mean, they should have a game where Jarvis has two sacks and Pernell has two sacks. Again, they've done it before. And so I think maybe they need to do some things where both of them are to the same side, because then it's like, who are you going to double? Somebody has to come free. So I think they can work a lot of things. They can work a lot of magic, and it's good that the defense is coming together now, because now they got a tough road game now with the Chiefs, and then they play at the Lions, and then they go into the bye week. So I think it's good that the defense is coming together, you know, and they have to start at this game.
Two of Jarvis Jenkins' sacks have come against the right guard when Pernell McPhee was lined up over the left guard center. He attracted double-team attention, and Jarvis had a nice move, and twice he benefited from Pernell McPhee concerns. And that's what I like, is because you can devise a scheme when you have inconsistencies in the offensive line play to put bodies in different spots and different levels, make them communicate more, and create that uncertainty in their head. And you can see, when you watch Kansas City on tape, you can see their quarterback understanding certain protections. He doesn't know if his offensive line will be able to hold up, and kind of gives him jittery feet.
Yeah, and I think every offensive line, they know where Pernell is, because they know he's a playmaker. So maybe they slide the protection towards him, and then the guys on the backside can benefit. So it's a lot of things that they can do with Pernell, and I'm excited for it.
Travis Kelce, a guy to defend a tight end. Jamaal Charles, certainly still a speedy running back. And then you got Jeremy Maclin on the outside with Alex Smith, the quarterback. Should be a fun game at Arrowhead. It always is. Great place to watch a football game. Great place to call a football game. And looking for the Bears to get a victory over the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good matchup. Dave Tobe, special teams coordinator at Kansas City, against Coach Rogers, special teams coordinator to the Bears. I think that'll be an interesting matchup to watch, because there's a lot of explosive plays can happen in all
good,
that
they have
exchange.
Good returners. They have good returners as well. So, Double A, a little bit out of his element now. You know, talking X's and O's. You feel it feels good. It feels nice, right?
I feel like I'm back in the locker room.
There
like
you
I'm
go.
Talking to the
That's
fellas.
Exactly what it's like right here. And good locker sure. room humor, to be sure, for the rest of the day now. And I'm going to wrap this up.
I like deep fried turkey, though. I love those deep fried turkeys, if you want to consider that.
I fry a turkey as well. Okay. So I'll make three then. I'll make three.
Four-time Thayer, Larry Mayer, and the one and only Anthony Adams. I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for watching Chicago Bears Roundtable. We'll talk to you next time here from Hallis Hall.